Empower your workforce with financial wellness solutions tailored to their needs. Introducing Credkin, a comprehensive platform designed to enhance the financial health of your employees. In today's fast-paced world, providing support for financial well-being is not just a benefit, it's a necessity. With Credkin, your company can make a meaningful investment in the financial futures of your employees. Boost employee productivity and engagement. Financial stress can significantly impact employee productivity and engagement levels. By offering Credkin's financial wellness solution, you demonstrate your commitment to supporting your employees beyond the workplace. Empowered with tools to manage their finances effectively, your workforce can focus more on their work, leading to increased productivity and engagement. Differentiate your company as an employer of choice. In today's competitive job market, attracting and retaining top talent is essential. Stand out from the crowd by offering Credkin as part of your employee benefits package. Potential hires will be drawn to a company that prioritizes their financial well-being, while current employees will feel valued and appreciated, fostering loyalty and long-term commitment.
Welcome to another episode of the Career Talks podcast. Each and every week, I bring you amazing guests. You already know my name, Orlando Haynes, at least after 120 episodes. If you watched, you should know. But super excited for tonight's episode. I've been connected to this young lady for a couple of months now. I think it's been a month or more months, a couple of months. We interacted. Next thing you know, we're jumping on the podcast. I've seen her content. She's about to blaze this interview, so no pressure. I see you laughing in the background, but before we get started, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and all podcast platforms. Looking forward to continuing to grow the platform, and also check out my podcast partner, credkin.com. That's credkin.com, credkin.com. Without further ado, we're going to be talking about conveying your impact as a job seeker with the amazing and talented Miss Allison Peck. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so good. It's good to see you, Orlando. How you been?
Good. Good to see you as well. So glad you said yes. We were chatting behind the scenes about locations and weather and a little bit about life and business. So definitely a fan of yours and your content. But let me first ask, you know, share with the folks more about you, your business, and your story.
Yeah, gosh. So my story started a little rough. And if that's you as well, you're not alone here. So when I started out my corporate career as an engineer in the Bay Area of California, I feel like I made every mistake in the book. I botched salary negotiations. I had a toxic boss that I didn't know how to communicate with. I got laid off. It was really, really, really bad. And I talk a lot about all of those things in detail in my book. But throughout my career, I've learned so much about how to do things a better way, the right way, how to negotiate to get more money for myself, how to have a great relationship with my manager, how to have those hard conversations at work, how to not get laid off. And at a certain point, a couple of years ago, I thought, God, I got to start sharing this with people because I feel like I'm such a wealth of knowledge now. And I don't want people to have to stumble through becoming a professional and, you know, like I did. And so I thought, you know what, maybe I'll start with TikTok and I'll just make some funny little TikTok videos about, you know, your resume should be one page and don't put your full address on there. And a couple of those topics started to go really viral. And a lot of the comments would say, I didn't know this. Thank you for sharing. And it gave me so much joy and fulfillment because I thought, you know what, now I don't feel like I struggled in vain. I feel like somebody's learning from my struggles. And since then I have I've amassed over like 800,000 subscribers on social media. I have two LinkedIn learning courses. I have a book. I did a TEDx talk on quiet quitting. I feel like I'm everywhere all at once now. So I feel like I'm really helping people. I have a job search coaching program that helps people get jobs. I'm starting a community for career development. So I really feel like I'm able to give back in those ways that I wish I had back then.
Wow. Congratulations. That's huge. Huge. Thanks. Huge. You're a full-time entrepreneur, helping folks across the board. Love it. Love it. Definitely, folks, if you're joining us tonight or seeing the replay, you want to follow Allison Definitely check her out on TikTok, right? Tons of content. She hits the mark every single time. So love to view that information there. So let me ask you this. So we're talking about conveying your impact as a job seeker. Did that come to you based on your personal journey? You kind of touched on it, but is that what you, like you said, you said, hey, I need to now start relating this to more people. But in your personal journey as a career professional, was that something you noticed that was missing? And then and part two to that was, what was that epiphany to say, hey, I need to craft this a little bit better?
Yeah. So the answer to your question is, I realized that companies need to see you as a good return on their investments if they're going to hire you. So I didn't used to understand that. And I used to get auto rejected when I would apply for jobs. And I'm talking auto rejection emails like 20 minutes after I'd applied. Very clear. No human was looking at my resume. No recruiter was looking at my application. I was like getting kicked back from some auto screen. And then I talked to a lot of recruiters. I love doing research and almost like career journalism. I just made that up, but maybe it's a thing. But just going out and asking people like, hey, what do you guys look for? And I started to realize, and I feel like I knew this in the back of my mind too, that companies, they need to make money. Every company out there, that's the one thing they have in common. They need to generate revenue. And if you can help a company understand how you are going to save them money or help make them money or help the company reach its goals or help implement systems or processes that are going to save money with automations or whatnot, if you can help a company, for example, make $150,000 a year more, they will pay you $150,000 a year or maybe slightly less. So it's a positive for them. But when I started to understand that a company needs to see an ROI, a return on investment in hiring you, that's when I kind of realized, oh, I just need to show them why it's a good idea for them to hire me, why it'd be in their best interest. So it's kind of an epiphany.
Now, did someone, so epiphany hit, but did you have a mentor or someone say, hey, Allison, you need to start thinking this way? Or was it just through trial and error and you're like, what's the missing piece? And then it just hit you like,
so actually, a recruiter was looking at my resume and they found a spelling mistake when I was applying for a job. And they said, before I, you know, submit your resume to the hiring manager, can you fix this little spelling mistake? And I said, sure. Ended up not getting that job. And this angel of a recruiter messaged me after the process was over, after I'd been rejected. And she said, can I give you another tip for your resume? And I said, of course, you godsend, of course. And she said, your resume bullet points in your experience section, they talk about your daily job duties, what you did. You wrote reports, you worked with the quality department and whatnot. But what impact did that have for the company's bottom line? What impact did that have for the department you were working in? And I thought, oh, I guess that would make sense that a company would want to know that, not just that I wrote reports, but that I wrote reports so that the quality department could, you know, do preventative maintenance and save the cost of tools that broke, whatever it may be. I kind of realized like, oh, I need to tell a company what impact I've had at my previous role so that they can interpolate, you know, or extrapolate what impact I'm going to have at their company. And that was kind of the moment I put two and two together.
Now, when you say convey your impact, is that both resume and interview or resume first?
Resume, interview, and networking. I would say resume first. Yeah. So I would say resume first.
Starting with resume. Go ahead. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, you're good. So with resume, I would say you need to, I like quantifiable statements on resumes. So instead of qualitative, it's quantitative. So there's numbers. I love seeing numbers on resumes. They can be dollar amounts. I saved the company this much money. They can be numbers of clients that you've had. But I love seeing that sort of statements on a resume to convey impact because it really makes your impact palpable. Instead of saying, I wrote reports, you can say, I wrote 65 reports per month. Love seeing things like that. And then we said interviewing also. So conveying your impact in an interview, you really want to know what the company's goal is before you go into an interview so that you can describe how you are the solution to their problem. That it's as simple as that. It's not really simple, but it's kind of how I think about it.
Well, so break that. So your methodology, you never know. If you were to break down how you see it, if you can in 2-3 steps, whatever that looks like, you never know. The next person who hears this, they're like, wow, that was so much easier. I was overthinking it, but you broke it down in such a simplified form. So how do you view it as being easy? What's your steps, your strategy to that?
Sure. So step one, before an interview, I would use AI. My favorite tool is Perplexity right now. It's like Google, but it gives you the answers to the questions, not just links that you can go look for the answers. So I love asking Perplexity AI. You can also use Gemini. I like saying, you know, hey, I'm interviewing at Apple next week. What are their missions and goals as a company? What are their product names? What are they working on right now? What's an issue they've recently had in the news? I like to do that kind of research and try to think of, oh, they're about to launch a product, or, oh, they just launched a product, or, oh, they just had a product recall. And I like to think back, this would be the second step, think back to my experience with that. I remember launching a product and having a recall. I remember the things that we had to do. Third step, mention those things in the interview. And the interviewer will think, oh gosh, she would be great to have on our team because she knows what we're going through. She's done it before. And she knows what pitfalls we should look out for. She would be an asset to our team. So research, figure out the problems the company's having or the next things the company's going to be doing, and then talk about it in the interview.
So I've never used Perplexity or Gemini. And so are you also leveraging that to, based on the role itself? Like, are you throwing in, like you said, rolling out, you know, what new projects they're rolling out? I'm applying to a project management role. Like, yeah. How detailed can you get on those platforms?
So Perplexity, you can get really detailed with a question that has a specific answer. So an example question that I would ask Perplexity is, and this is in preparation for the question, what are your salary expectations? I would ask Perplexity, I'm interviewing for a data analyst role at a medical device company in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I have 3 years of experience out of college. What is the average salary for somebody like that? Such a specific question. So Perplexity is great for things like that. But what you're talking about, I would use Gemini, which is like, I feel like I'm cheating on ChatGPT, but Gemini is pretty good. I like Gemini a little bit better than ChatGPT right now. What I would do with ChatGPT is I would say a prompt like, I'm going to give you my resume and a job description for a job I'm about to interview for. Ask me an example 10 questions that they might ask me. I'm going to give you my answers. And after the 10th one, I want you to give me feedback.
Mm. That's really good.
Do you use AI?
It's like you can role play with it.
Yeah.
I use ChatGPT. But I haven't done Perplexity or Gemini, but I'm going to definitely check it out. So it's almost like you can role play with Gemini in a sense back and forth based on the content you place in there. That's pretty good.
You can do it with ChatGPT also.
Yeah, I know it's all about the prompts for sure. But yeah, yep. So when it comes to the resume piece, what's your take, right? So people say, okay, great. Allison's talking about leveraging AI to get you know more strategic or better answers to respond to. Now I want to boost my resume up. Can I use these platforms? And will it come across as a AI generated resume? What's the risk?
So, yes, I think that many of us can read something and we can tell that it was written by a non-human entity like AI. I love to use AI tools like Gemini, ChatGPT, Perplexity as a brainstorming tool to outline things, to help me if I have writer's block, to help give me ideas if I'm stuck. But the end product needs to come from my brain and it needs to sound like I wrote it. And there are certain words that ChatGPT uses on a resume. I've written whole resumes with ChatGPT just to see what they look like. And a lot of the bullet points sound exactly the same. Successfully managed a collaborated with the, they all sound very similar. So I would encourage you to use AI tools like ChatGPT to brainstorm and help you maybe come up with ideas for your bullet points, but you need to go through each bullet point before you submit this to a job application or a recruiter and just read the bullet point out loud to yourself and think, does that sound like something I would say? And if it's a no, then you can even ask your partner or your friend or your sister and say, does this sound like me? And if they go no, then maybe add some different words that sound more human.
Yeah, and I noticed that too, because one of the things also is you can tell ChatGPT, and I'm sure Gemini Perplexity the same, the tone in which you want it to come across. So if you're trying to do an ebook or anything like that, you can narrate the tone. So that's why, like you just said, great, great point is read it through and you can say, okay, no, that sounds overly professional or however you want to do it. Let's bring it down to X amount terms or tone. And so it can sound more humanized. But yeah, if you're not reading through that thing to make sure what you put on there, you can't verbally translate in the interview. Like I said, you're going to get exposed really quick in a bad way. It's going to look bad. So go ahead.
So there's another thing
you was going to add to that.
Yeah. So there's another thing. So everybody's got a resume, right? They all look and sound the same, but there's something that I'm having my job search clients do lately that is helping them get interviews and stand out among a sea of resumes that look just like theirs. So have you heard of Loom to make videos?
Yeah.
You probably have. You've probably received a Loom. Loom? Loom, LOOM.com. I don't know who makes it, but there's a free version. I don't know. It's just a website. But anyways, you can record videos and send them to people as a link instead of a video file. So what I am having my job search clients do is they make a video resume and they send it to a recruiter. And instead of just sending a two-dimensional document that has a bunch of black text on a white page, they're sending a video that is, you know, it's not professionally done. It's just you in your living room filming a video, but it's saying like, hey, I wanted to introduce myself. My name is Allison. I have 15 years of medical device experience. I've worked for these companies before. Some things that I loved, some skills that I built that I've absolutely loved are this, this, and this. I saw that you're hiring for this role. I think I would do absolutely amazing. And here's why. Let me know if you're interested in doing an exploratory conversation. I'd love to ask you a couple questions. And then they send it. And
how many people do you think are doing that?
Three. Emma, Joe, Marina. My client. I've never heard of anybody else doing it. But the response that they're getting from recruiters are, oh my gosh, I've never gotten a video like this before. I sent it around to our company. Everybody's so impressed. We have to meet you. Like, absolutely, we can have a conversation. So try it.
So that's where we have to coach, right? Coach folks to get out of their comfort zone to do that, right? Because that's almost like doing a LinkedIn Live like we're doing now, right? You got to be able to come out of your shell to know that, hey, I can communicate to the, and the good thing about it is too, right? You can do it how many times you need to before sending it, but you have to feel comfortable talking to the camera. Right. And so that's another piece of it where folks will probably be like, a video. Oh my God, I can't just send this $5,000 resume I had done. And hopefully it'll go through the ATS and get to the top of the list. It's like, no, there's so many more steps you have to do with that. But Loom, I like that. I'm gonna check that out this evening and see what that's about. But that sounds really cool. Remember when it was about sending an audio through just LinkedIn, right?
Yeah,
audio.
That's cool too.
Was big a couple of years ago. Yep. So that's a good way too. But I like the Loom piece. And so does that give you a time span on what is that? Just to break it down for the folks that are watching, like, okay, I'm gonna go check this new tech piece out. Is it preferred a minute? What do you suggest?
I mean, how long would you want somebody to introduce themselves if they were pitching something to you? A minute? Yeah. A minute and a half, 2 minutes?
Probably. A little less. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, short.
A little less. Depends, yeah.
Yeah. And you can also answer the question, tell me
so
about yourself.
We're on a path.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was going to say,
tell me about yourself.
I was going to say, if you don't know what to say in your video, you can answer the question, tell me about yourself, and just answer that question in a video and just be like, hey, I wanted to tell you a little bit about myself, you know, preemptively, and then send that video if you need some inspiration for what to say in the video.
Awesome. So we're on a path of all these tech tools that people can use to enhance their job search. What are some additional ones that you've worked with that can help them convey, you know, their message as a job seeker?
I mean, LinkedIn, for sure. I feel like LinkedIn is underutilized with job seekers. I have job seekers ask me, oh, is it okay if I look at a recruiter's profile before they interview me? 100%. It's not, you're not a creep. You're not a stalker. Yes, they're going to know that you looked at their profile, but that's a good thing. That means they know you're putting in the time and the effort to get to know them online. It's a good thing. So definitely LinkedIn should be used for networking, for connecting with recruiters, for engaging with people's content. I think LinkedIn is definitely underutilized with job seekers.
So great transition. How should they convey their impact utilizing their LinkedIn profile?
So there is a place in the middle of your profile called the featured section. And if you create a post that you really like and you want it to be kind of pinned on your profile for everybody to see so they don't have to scroll down through your posts, you put it as a featured post on your profile. And it can be a picture, a link, it can be, I think, a video, a website, and it can also just be a post that you've written or an article that you've written. But that's a great way for somebody to look at your profile and learn a little bit more about you. And so what I suggest, if anybody's listening to this and they're thinking, well, what do I put on there? If you are involved in any sports, if you are involved in any extracurricular activities like soccer or horseback riding or ultimate frisbee, or if you like reading books, you can write a short little article. You can even have ChatGPT help you, not do the whole thing, but you can write an article about, you know, how the most essential skills in soccer have helped me learn how to be a great project manager, or how my ultimate frisbee team has made me a better coworker. And then write that article. And if you need inspiration, go look at my post. It's an article about horseback riding, I think. And have it as a featured post on your profile and people can get to know you a little bit better.
I like that. What about dropping more or less an intro video from Loom that you recorded in there?
100%. Yeah, that would be another great idea. And again, Loom, you can record it multiple times. It's not live. And, you know, wear something nice, have good audio, have good lighting, record it, and then trim off the little end of it where it shows you like searching for the stop button, you know, trim off the end of it, trim off the little bit of the beginning, and feature it on your profile, and people can get to know you on a more multidimensional level.
So anyone watching now and listening, if you do this, if you do the Loom or the other suggestion that Allison mentioned and put it in your feature section, it's just the first time you're doing it, tag us in it so we can support that. I would love to see someone take immediate massive action on the advice that she's given. So do that, tag you. I may even throw in a free ebook for you. So a little giveaway, a little contest for the first person and who goes ahead and does that. So that's super cool. Now, what are you with your coaching program? Let's dive into that and share a little bit. Don't give all the secret sauce away because we want people to sign up. Walk them through high level. What does that look like working with you?
So what I help job seekers do is stand out as a job seeker so that they get their resume to the top of the pile, whether this is through an internal referral via networking, or whether this is from a project portfolio that describes the impact you've had at your previous company, along with pictures of you doing it, which is big proof. I help job seekers stand out in networking, in their application with a project portfolio, on LinkedIn with a custom cover photo. There's a ton of ways that I help my clients get really creative and sometimes a little crazy and unique so that the recruiter goes, wow, That was unique. I'm interested. I want to hear more. Yeah. So sometimes you got to get really creative. The least you could do for your job search is just apply, send your resume, and then wait around for somebody to call you. That's not working these days. It's a tough job market right now. So you really have to kind of stand on the rooftops and shout, I'm the best candidate for the job. Here's why.
What do you think about content creation? So I'm big on job seekers creating content. Like you said, putting a video or an article. I love that. How soccer or horseback riding, you know, translated to these skills. What do you think about creating content consistently to stand out? That's kind of the things I'm teaching folks. Like, hey, learn from your expertise. You've been in this industry, whatever, 10, 15 plus years. I can help you craft, you know, 30, 90 days worth of content. What's your thoughts around that?
I love when people show that what they can do rather than just tell. So a resume tells that you can do these things and you have these skills. But again, it's a two-dimensional piece of paper. If you can make a video where you show, you know, I made this at home, this is how I made it, these are the skills I used to make it, these are the mistakes I made, this is what I learned. If you can make a video like that, that shows people you have the skills you say you have the experience, you know how to talk the talk, you know the jargon of your industry, that is so much more powerful. And I've heard of a lot of recruiters finding people that way. For example, you know, I knew a guy who put a motor and a battery on his skateboard. It was a DIY, do-it-yourself at-home project. He stumbled through it. He didn't really know what he was doing, but he kind of found a tutorial. He brings that to career fairs and he gets interviews and jobs like you wouldn't believe. So show that you can do the thing that you're trying to get a job in. And I think you will get hired a lot faster. So I think it's great advice. You're having people make content, but it takes bravery. It's not easy sometimes.
That's true. That's true. So you're saying produce a how-to or this is what I've done. Let me walk you through the steps type video.
Yeah. And people don't want to see perfection. They want to see that even if you've made a mistake with something, that you've learned and you've grown and you have tenacity and perseverance and you can fall down and dust yourself off and keep going. I love when people talk about in a vulnerable way, hey, this is a thing that I learned. I don't want you guys to make the same mistake. So learn from my mistake. And I love seeing stuff like that. Self-awareness.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's cool. Same thing. Same request or challenge to the folks. If you do that, if you can do that, absolutely. Tag Allison and myself. Would love to see that. I think that's a piece too, and I try to talk about it as much as possible that job seekers are missing because, like you said earlier, it's you can't just post or. Send your email, send your resume in, and hopefully it rises to the top by osmosis. Is how do you get super creative on this platform to stand out? And I'm all about visibility, you know, creates opportunity. And so I'm just huge on like, you got to create content, you got to shock the algorithm and put yourself out there so people could see you. The more eyeballs you generate on your profile, the better opportunities that are come your way overall. So you're hearing it from two of us now, so and others, but you're hearing it tonight firsthand, folks. Create content on the platform. Leverage the platform. So,
and I have a question for you. One more thought.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you know what, I'm going to look this up on my phone real quick. Do you know what percentage of LinkedIn users post content versus just look?
I just had that data the other day. So I know there's roughly a billion users and I think about 3 million post. And what they, what I recall, what they consider active. Yeah. What they consider active is one post a week or one post every 2 weeks. So massive gap, right? And opportunity. Yes. So people like you and myself and other creators that we know who are putting content out, we're being seen by folks who we have no clue. Now, does every eyeball create an opportunity? No, but at some point, It's going to happen. We connected people that we're connecting with. We're growing our network, not for numbers' sake, but for relationship sake, for business sake, right? These things are happening, folks, because we're creating content on the platform like this. You just miss it if you're not doing it. I don't know how else to say it. So, we got a quick question from the audience. So, Yvonne Young says, what if you put images/content on a cover letter?
Ooh. How'd you tackle that? I've never seen that. Do it.
I don't think I've seen
it. I'm also all about A and B testing with job searching. Try something. See if it works. If it doesn't work, maybe don't try it for the next one. If it does work, maybe try it for the next one as well. But some people are applying to 100 jobs, 200. I've seen 1,000 jobs. Try it. Do some testing on your own. See what works.
And let me ask you, what type of content are you referring to? So in my brain, if you're IT something, if you're putting something IT related, that, you know, you never know. Or a project and showing a graph or something like that. I know people in resume writers, I was just at a conference last week or the week before, and we were talking about not putting all that stuff on the resume, but the cover letter, you never know. I mean, you submit it through the ATS, or if you get a contact email, you can email it, but you never know. But yeah, share your thoughts. You said, I'll go for it. Awesome.
Nice.
Let us know. Yeah, circle back, give us the feedback. See if it sparked a phone call for you, for sure.
Yeah.
So when it comes to you working with clients, what are some common themes that you're seeing out there in the market now with job seekers? Some do's and some don'ts, if you can share that.
So a common theme I'm seeing is this sentiment and this feeling of unemployability, where if somebody has been job searching for months and they just aren't getting any bites, they can feel unemployable. And so a don't would be, don't get down and don't think that it's you. It's a really tough job market right now. And find ways to stand out so that you get these interviews and you get these job offers. I would say do find ways to stand out so that you're not just one resume in a stack of 500 or 1,000 resumes. What else? Do ask other people what's working for them. I had one guy in my coaching program just get a job, and I had him speak in one of our group coaching calls, and I said, hey, Joe, like, what worked for you? And he said that ZipRecruiter helped. And so all of the other coaching clients messaged him and said, hey, like, can you check out my ZipRecruiter profile? Like, is this what you would put? And he helped them. And I love that. That is community. So that's another do. Find a community of people who are going through the same thing that you're going through, because job seeking can be a very lonely game. And that can lead to those feelings of unemployability. But if you can find friends, if you can corroborate and say, what's working for you? What hasn't been working? You know, can you introduce me to this person in your network? Do find a community so that you're not doing it all by yourself.
Love that. Love that. You know, I'm gonna jump back to the content piece too. I would love, I've been saying this, not at volume, but I've been saying it here and there for the past few years, is I would love to see a job seeker vlog their journey on LinkedIn.
Ooh.
Right? Like, hey, today, you know, hey, everybody, about to go interview. Don't say the company name. You don't have to, right? With a tech company or whatever company. Wish me luck. Any bit of advice you want to share before I get there, drop it in the comments. Boom. I'm back. Yeah, I think the interview went well. You know, asked great questions. Hopefully hear back, but on to the next one. You know, little bits and tips there like that, like you would see on YouTube, right? Kind of a day in the life of a job seeker, but vlogging that and not sharing any inside content, again, or inside information about the company or anything like that, but just showing the progression in what you're going through. Like, oh, just signed up with a coach, getting my resume redone, doing this. Oh, here's my strategy, built this list out. These are my target list. Blurring out the companies, but this is what I'm looking for: project management, data analyst, marketing, whatever, and just showing that journey. Like, that would be absolutely incredible. I think that person would blow up and mess around and not even be in a career that be in a content creation job or somewhere. But
I know.
I think that would be super dynamic to see. I would love to see that.
Another thing you can do, speaking of content, this one would not be content that we post, but just content that we review, is I had a job seeker client record herself in an interview. She didn't post it anywhere. She didn't share it with anybody for obvious reasons, but she watched it afterwards and she goes, oh my gosh, I say a lot and I'm not looking at the camera. You notice how I'm not looking at the camera right now? Now I am. It makes it, but right now I'm looking at you, Orlando. Right now I'm looking at the camera. Doesn't it feel like I'm making more of a connection right now looking, but I'm looking at the camera lens, which is a little awkward for me, but she realized those two things. And so you can learn from your own interview by recording it and just watching it yourself afterwards. You can delete it, you can save it, whatever. But that's another cool thing that people are doing.
And she was in an actual interview, a virtual interview?
Yep.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yep. That's really good. Great tip. So some of the, you shared one or two, I think, of the do's and don'ts. What are some additional things that job seekers, like, they need to hear this now in this current career economy is what I call it. What do they need to know right now to make, you know, an immediate switch in their job search strategy?
For another do, I would say do follow up. It wasn't until I started doing my own sales for my own business that I realized the power of the follow up. I thought I was being annoying, but some people just have busy lives. They forget to get back to you. They read your message and just forget to mark it as unread. So they respond again, follow up and say, hey, that was a great interview last week. What did you think? You know, I'd love some feedback or like, hey, what are the next steps? So follow up. What are other do's? Okay. So this is a tip I have. I wrote my newsletter about this for Thursday, but when somebody asks you I'm going to give a good phrase to use when somebody asks you, what are your salary expectations? And this is if you have an interview. So if somebody says, what are your salary expectations? Do your research beforehand. So you know what the general range is that you should be targeting. But do put it back on them and say, great question. I'm negotiable for the right role. Salary is not the most important thing to me. The most important thing is that I find a place that I can learn and grow and that's a good fit. Do you have a budget in mind? Do let them just respond back. If they really press you for a number, here's a phrase. And anybody listening, write this down or come back and just look at the transcript of this. But if they really press you for a number, if they say, well, no, what are your salary expectations? I need a number. Say this phrase, I am currently interviewing at companies who are listing 105,000 on their job postings or 110,000, but that language is so powerful. So do use that language. I am currently interviewing at companies that are offering blah, blah, blah. That makes it sound like you're not, I'm looking for 105,000. I'm looking to get paid. You're not looking for it. It's coming to you. You're interviewing elsewhere. You're a hot commodity. So do respond that way. So those would be two more do's.
I love that. Now we just can't have a hiring manager say, hey, I heard what Allison said over there. Like I heard she gave you the tip. I heard that advice.
Well, hiring managers might, right? Yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely.
That's funny. So you know, let's flip it because I'm always on the side of putting pressure to an onus on the employer, right? You see a lot of content, a lot of stuff that we're trying to help the job seeker, and I don't want the job seekers to think that hey, the employer's got it right. So it's the job seekers who need to do all this legwork to make it, you know, to make them more marketable. What would you do if you can speak to the employers to say, hey, here's what I need you to do so you can capture better talent?
So I actually had this opportunity 2 weeks ago. ZipRecruiter hired me to speak for over an hour at their leadership summit in Los Angeles 2 weeks ago. And my talk was called "You're Recruiting the Modern Job Seeker All Wrong." And my audience was a group of the top talent acquisition executives in the United States. And so there's a big disconnect between the employee and the employer. Sometimes there's a big us versus them mentality. So I gave them a lot of tips on how to reach people where they're at and how to make the job search process a little more human. One tip that I had for them was to reimagine the auto rejection email. So instead of just emailing a candidate that sounds so robotic that says, "I'm sorry, we're deciding to go, you know, thank you for applying, but we've decided to go with somebody else. Please keep in touch. We'll keep you in mind for future opportunities." I think employers have an opportunity there to put an ebook, a free ebook in their auto rejection that says, here's what top candidates that have gotten jobs here, here's what they have done, or here's some characteristics that they've embodied, or have free resources for job seekers. But it's like a bad taste that an auto rejection leaves in a job seeker's mouth. And so reimagining the auto rejection email was something that I advised them to do. But there was a lot of advice that I gave them in the hour long talk that I did. And they were all ears. They were eager to listen because they feel like there's a major disconnect.
Wow, that's huge. I like that. I really, really like that. That's really good. That's really good. Yeah, I'm sure they're working on it. They get like, that's pretty good. Right? For
another,
giving them a learning tool, the job seekers are like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so I gave them another tip and I said, job seekers don't always understand the difference between salary and compensation. So compensation is a big umbrella term that involves your bonus, your starting bonus, your stock, your paid time off, your health benefits, RSU, you know, everything. Salary is a tiny little piece there, or the big piece. But when you ask, what are your salary expectations? It's kind of not fair to ask that question, because if you're going to be working 80 hours a week, you might want double the pay. Or if it's going to be a really chill job and you're going to get a lot of stock, maybe you'd be okay with a lower salary. So instead of asking, what are your salary expectations, I advised this group of people to talk about the compensation package that the company offers and then say, a small piece of that is salary. What are your salary expectations?
Oh, for the recruiter to break it out, you're saying.
Yep.
Okay. Is that what you're saying? For the recruiter to say, okay, compensation, and then break it out in sections?
Yeah, for the recruiter to just say, look, our compensation package includes these things. They don't have to give dollar amounts, but they can say, we give stock, we give a starting bonus, we give 10% benefits, or sorry, 10% annual bonus. We have base pay also. What are your base pay expectations? And just kind of set the tone that salary is not everything that we offer. And then there's not this huge pressure to give a big number because there are other things too.
Got it. Ooh, that's good. What share a little bit more, because that sounds really, really good.
Yeah, so these talent acquisition professionals are seeing that when they ask people, what are your salary expectations? Some of these next generation job seekers are saying these really high numbers because they want to be able to afford a house someday. They have high credit card bills. They want to be able to drive a nice car and they have a big car payment. Interest rates are high, rent is high. But if you can have a longer term vision where you're going to stay at the company for a while, they're going to give you stock. It's a profit sharing thing. When you grow, I grow. We have values that are aligned. That, in my mind, can be way better than just salary, because salary is just a thing that you get every month or every 2 weeks. But if you get stock, or if you get RSUs, or if you get more paid time off or better maternity leave, sometimes those things are much more valuable than just salary alone. So helping job seekers understand that, because I did not understand that as a job seeker. I thought salary was everything, but it's not.
Right. And so let's flip that same topic. And how do we give the job seeker the proper verbiage to break that out themselves? Because, right, as a recruiter, I was asking that question. What's your total, you know, what are you looking for in terms of compensation? And so the folks who knew what I was talking about would say, well, from a salary standpoint, if you now, does the company offer this, this, this? And so they would break it out based on that question. So they knew, hey, he's asking totality, but let me make sure I respond individually so it meets the total number I'm expecting. And so for the folks who don't, who may assume, right, it's just a base salary question and what they're asking, how would you give the job seeker the verbiage to respond to that question from a recruiter?
So before you even get asked that question, you can go and Google what is a typical compensation package for an Apple engineer or for a Boston Scientific data analyst. So you can have that information. You can see, oh, people that are getting hired by these companies right now, they get usually a 15% bonus, 2 weeks PTO, great health and dental and vision benefits, stock, usually 75 shares of stock. Like, that information is all out there. And so if you, they probably have compensation calculators out there that say like, okay, if I get base pay, if you're in sales, then you get commission. They probably have calculators that say like, after everything is said and done, if your base pay at this company is this much and the bonus is this much and the stock is worth this much today, here's about how much you'll be making at the end of the day with all of that. So just have that in mind when you go into this conversation. And when we talk about money with a recruiter in an interview, I want job seekers to act like it is the least important thing to them, even though it might be the most important thing, because a lot of people are motivated by money, which is totally fine. You can't do a lot if you don't have money, obviously, but just try to let the recruiter know, like, right, look, more than money, I want this to be a great fit so that I can stay long-term at this company. I've heard it's a wonderful place to be. I have friends that work there. I'd like to learn a little bit more about the role before we talk compensation so I can understand the manager's management style, the roles and responsibilities that I would be signing up for. So just kind of minimizing the salary conversation and making it seem like, look, I want to make sure it's a good fit for both of us before we even talk logistics.
Got it. And so so there's two different sides, right? You have the agency recruiters who are more, and hopefully they don't kill me in the comments because I used to be an agency recruiter. It's a more transactional, standpoint, but they need to lock you down on the salary before they present you to the employer, right? Versus a TA person where, yeah, there may be a little more wiggle room, but they have more influence to say, hey, you know, they gave me a range, but I think based on XYZ experience and who they are, their personality, they could be a great fit. And I suggest we go maybe a little higher to land this expertise and what we're looking for. So there's a variance in that. Not sure if you dealt with agency recruiters. So how would you educate them? Like, I think that industry, again, has not evolved as much yet in how they, you know, work with candidates and pursue clients. That can be a whole other topic. But what would you say to them, room filler agency recruiters, and saying, hey, this is how you're probably better off communicating and getting the buy-in and, you know, quote unquote, locking down, you know, a candidate?
So I love working with agency recruiters, you know, these external recruiters that don't work for the company, but actually get a percentage of your salary once you're hired from the company. You don't pay them. It's free to work with them for you. I love working with them. They want the highest amount for you because they get a percentage of it. That's a win-win situation. Our goals are aligned. Let's be in business together. I love that kind of partnership. Also, agency recruiters are great because they'll look over your resume. They'll help keep the communication going between you and the company and the interviewers. They'll help prep you. They'll ask you afterwards, you know, hey, how'd the interview go? How do you feel like it went? So if I were talking to a room full of agency recruiters, I would say, sometimes job seekers have never worked with somebody like you before. Help them understand why you're on their side. And you're not HR. The HR that's not your friend, that's not the agency recruiter. The agency recruiter is almost like, it's almost like Robin Hood, but not quite. I could think of a better metaphor, but help the job seeker understand, hey, if you've never worked with somebody like me before, I have your best interest in mind, and I'm going to help you put your best foot forward. Here are some ways that I can support you in this process while you're interviewing. Here's some things I suggest, but make them feel like you're on their side and you're there to help and support them and you want what's best for them.
Love it, love it, love it. So we are coming close to time. You shared earlier about community. Share about what your goal is on what you're looking to do in building your community. Love for the folks here.
Yeah. So I actually haven't announced this yet. This is the first place I'm talking about this. So thank you for asking.
Did I put you on the spot?
Yeah, I love it. I love it though. I'm ready to talk about it. So I'm starting a community on the platform School, which is Alex Hormozi's platform. Love him. And it's going to be basically like a social media for career development. That's not like LinkedIn, because sometimes on LinkedIn, you can't just post a question that you have and be vulnerable because your employer might see it, your boss might see it, your future coworkers might see it. So I feel like LinkedIn is kind of this place where we all have to be very professional and perfect and, oh, I learned this lesson and now I'm doing this great thing. But I'm starting a community for career development professionals, mostly for millennials, because that's what I am. I'm 35 years old and I want to work with people that are like around like 25 to 45 years old that are in, you know, 5 to 10 years into their career. If they have any questions, they can ask in the community. I will answer. I'm going to have and then other people can comment and answer. I'm going to have guest speakers weekly. We're going to have debate club where you can learn how to negotiate in a safe space. We're going to have resources for job seekers. It's going to be about like job seeking and career development, how to get raises and promotions. There's going to be a lot of great resources there and opportunities for people to connect and learn in a safe place where they're not asking on LinkedIn in front of everybody. So I'm super, super excited about that. And if you want to learn more or get involved about it, I haven't launched it yet. It'll be launched in the next 2 weeks. Today is May 6th. So by mid-May, it'll be live. So follow me on Instagram at Ali from Corporate Zero. And you will become one of the first people to join if you want.
Ooh, nice. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So as we're coming to a close, I always ask my guests a few questions to close us out. First is, what makes you get up and do what you do every day?
The DMs from people that say, you helped me get a job, or I used your interview tips and I got an offer, or you helped me have a hard conversation with my manager and I got a raise. I love those messages. Do not be afraid to ever DM me, or Orlando, you probably love those messages too. That makes me get up in the morning because I feel like all the places that I struggled in at the beginning of my career, it wasn't for nothing. It was so that I could have these tools in my tool belt and help other people build their houses, build their careers, and build foundations for their professional life in the workforce. So that really gets me out of bed.
Love it. And before I ask the other two questions, Khadija jumped in with a question for you. So she said, you have a lot of experience working at home and in your community. How do you transfer your experience and skills for a corporate role? How do you convince the interviewer that you truly can do the job?
You need to go do the ikigai Japanese practice of finding your life's purpose. So it's called ikigai, I-K-I-G-A-I. I think I'm spelling it right. But it's you're basically creating a Venn diagram of what you're good at, what you love to do, and what you want, the ways you want to change the world. And it's just a great exercise to help find transferable skills and help you figure out what you're doing that you love doing that you can continue doing in an office job or in a corporate job or in a blue collar job, so that you're not straying too far away from who you are at the core and you hate your job someday. So try this. It's called Ikigai.
Where'd you find that?
Online, where I find everything.
Chip and I. Oh, wow. Never heard of it. Now I got to look that up too. Awesome. You're giving me some homework, Allison. Yeah.
Good, good, good.
Love it. So final question. Where can folks go to consume your content, participate in your program and be able to convey their impact as a job seeker?
Instagram is the best place. I do a lot of Instagram reels with tips for job seekers. And if you want to know what I'm eating, what I'm wearing, where I am at any given point, the fights I have with my husband and my dog, you can watch my Instagram stories. That's a little more like personal behind the scenes if you're into that. And yeah, Instagram's the best place, I'd say.
Love it, love it. Allison, appreciate you so, so much for, you know, saying yes, like I said, coming on, being transparent, sharing your program, breaking news on the community and school. So super excited about that. Make sure to post, if there's a link to that, if you can drop that in the comments after we end the broadcast for folks that are listening, they can do that and then send it to me and I'll put it in the show notes for sure. But yep. Any final parting words to encourage job seekers?
Yes. If you are lacking confidence as a job seeker, go and read an article from The Atlantic from 2014 called The Confidence Competence Gap. And this article talks about how some people have more confidence than competence or more competence than confidence. The article talks about how it's gender related, but pay attention to the part about if you are not feeling competent, no, if you are not feeling confident as a job seeker, understand what your competencies are, what you're good at and what you are not good at. And just really try and show up as a job seeker in your true form. Don't try to fake it. Just understand who you really are and what you can do and be confident in those ways. So great article. I'm referencing it still 10 years later. I love it. If you want to ignore the gender part of it, it's still a great article. But it's called The Confidence Competence Gap from The Atlantic.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Appreciate you, Allison. We're going to close it out right there, folks. Make sure to follow Allison on IG, LinkedIn, DM her, get into the school, no pun intended, but get into the school community, share yep. your insight, tag her on posts if you took a tip from what she said, put it into action, and then make sure you tag her so she knows that you are resonating with her information. So. We appreciate it, folks. We'll see you next time here on the Career Talks podcast.